There will be spoilers ahead. Lots of spoilers, so be careful, won't you?
Hi, kids! Welcome to Max and Mike's Science Time Fun Show! Grab a glass of whole unpasteurized milk and a big slab of red meat for a snack, and let's dive right in! Here in the modern era of 1963, we now know that thought is like electricity, in that it can power streetcars and run our iceboxes. Isn't that swell? But what we're really interested in is our nearest neighbor in the solar system, Mars. Mars is a red planet, but that's okay because it's not communist red, it's red like the stripes in the American flag. Yes, Mars belongs to America, and it's up to us to make sure that Mars stays free and God-fearing before any bad communists, Chinese, or Jews try to corrupt its precious planetary fluids. We can't trust the Martians to run things properly, so we all have to help out. And how do we do this? By always being vigilant. Watch each other. Watch your parents. Watch your neighbors. And if any of them do anything that seems vaguely Martian or ethnic, call your local police station and report them. It's all up to us, kids. Trust no one except Max Mike Movies as we continue our Tops and Bottoms series.
Ooh.
Still not sure why that's funny. With the lowest box office earner of 1963... The day Mars invaded Earth. I'm your host, Max. We mean no harm to your planet, Levine. And over there, emerging from Chochum's cave, if you know what I mean, is Mike Klaatu Barada Nikto Loose. Nanu Nanu, Mike.
The only thing that emerges from Chochum's cave is brown. Or wait, is it green?
Or is it a marshmallow? But before we get to this cinematic titan, or Titanic,
poll question.
We've got to know, what was the last great movie you saw, and why? Not why did you see it, why was it great? We assume you saw it because it was, anyway. And we have that fine Irish lad leading us off, beel-o-lading, beel-o-lading, beel-o-lading.
Arr.
No man can kill me, now die!
I am no man!
That's my flawless Miranda Otto impression.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
Picking
it's like
up
she's
Lord
right
of the Rings
here.
And smacking it on the ground until it dies. Okay.
Yep. For me, it's got to be Return of the King. We've already been treated to Fellowship, Two Towers. The quality of the films in every respect were amazing. They re-released the prior two films over the summer so people could re-watch. We were heading into Christmas season primed for the final product. It just felt wonderful going with friends to see the film. People came in groups. Ushers ran about making room. This theater was sold out. We knew it was going to be good, and we knew everyone else knew it was going to be good, and we knew it was cool to be there. The film was an event. It felt important to be there, almost civic. It was one of the two times in my life a film received a standing ovation in the theater. An amazing experience, a well-deserved Best Picture win at the Oscars, and I'm so glad the trilogy has stood the test of time. I recall other films being truly great theater experiences, Jurassic Park, The Dark Knight, Barbie. That's an interesting trio. But
yeah.
Return of the King is unequaled in my view. An all-around great film seen in the theater as it was meant to be. My friends, you bow to no one. Should have ended right there, but I digress. Ah, nice one there, air me fine Irish laddie. Charles Forsythe says, have you ever ridden a roller coaster that was so fun you get off and ran to the get back in line?
No.
Not really, no. I'm not big on roller coasters.
I hate roller coasters.
There are fooey on you! No. There are occasionally movies like that. I see them on Saturday and again on Sunday. The last one of these was James Gunn's Superman from last summer.
Really?
But was it a great movie or just a really fun movie? I think in terms of great cinema that was also exciting would be Dune Part 2. Interesting. Huh. But the last movie that really stuck with me and I still think about long after seeing it would be The Heretic. Oh. I'm not a big horror fan. That's one with Hugh Grant, I think.
Wait, that's not Exorcist 2, is it?
No.
Oh, good.
It's two. Evil!
It didn't, though. It was so disappointing.
Know.
It is so boring.
Yeah, it really is. But The Heretic was more psychological thriller than horror movie. P.S. The Heretic has been praised by critics, but particularly Mormon critics, as it was a rare film that featured Mormon characters who weren't naive idiots. Oh, so it was fantasy. Okay. Sorry, everyone.
No, he's not. He is so no, not
I'm,
sorry.
I'm really not. Nick Hoffman says, given the day, I'd say The Odyssey, since we saw it last week.
There you go.
But prior to that, it would have to be Raiders at the former Arclight.
Ooh, wow.
Raiders of the former Arclight. I think I missed that one.
You did. You missed all of it. Every last syllable.
Oh, well. Harriet Roberts says, Conclave. Oh, yes. Mm. Starring my close personal friend, Rance Howard.
Is it? Oh, I don't know it.
Yeah, he's actually in it. I've never met him, but I know someone who did, so I take credit for that. The cinematography was amazing. The casting was perfection. I assume she especially means Rance. And the plot was fantastic.
Huh.
Cool.
Don't know
that
it.
That was a really good movie.
Hmm. Oh, wait, that's the way I did see that. That's the Pope
yes.
one, isn't it?
Yep, that's the Pope soap on a rope
yeah,
movie.
Yeah. Why did I see that? Oh, that's right. You made me watch it.
Yes, I did.
The Pope one.
And of course, Dave says, last movie I saw in a theater, stop hitting me, was a documentary called Diamond Diplomacy. Huh. It was a documentary about baseball between Japan and America. It was great, especially because of the pre-war footage with Babe Ruth and other famous early baseball players in Japan. I didn't know Babe Ruth went to Japan. That's awesome. Huh. Also great because that was the only one I saw in a theater since COVID, I think.
Oh.
Wow. Okay. I miss the movie theaters, but we just don't go anymore as everything we could possibly want is available at home. And the longer format of a 6-10 episode series is in some ways better for storytelling. Interesting. Okay. I can see an argument for that.
It depends on the story.
Yeah. I'm hoping to see Cuckoo Hoo. In a theater. Oh, get out.
It's a Canadian film. I made it myself.
You're lying.
Take off.
It's only had limited release, and I have not had a chance to go. It's a movie. Good. Fiction about a kabuki actor. I am reading the novel. Good story. Very visual. And the movie is supposed to have glorious costumes and cinematography.
Huh.
I've not heard of it. Keep an eye out.
Interesting.
Dr. Stephen Kellner says... Maybe Oppenheimer. Well, that's it. Okay, well, so maybe Oppenheimer.
Maybe.
Oppenheimer, I don't know.
Don't!
I split the atom!
split
Regan McStravick says, oh boy, the last movie I saw in a theater was Fantastic Four.
Oh.
It was not great.
No.
Stunning and moving and surprising. Better than The Odyssey, I think. Really,
Wait,
Regan?
Wait, Fantastic Four?
Apparently.
I disagree.
And because I can't let go, maybe Into the Spider-Verse, because it simply blew me away as a piece of art.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'd go more with that than the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
That Tatum-inventing whiz kid, Richard Tatum, says, The Invite. Okay. Insanely good.
Huh.
Four superb performances, tight construction, artfully and smartly directed. A total blueprint for how to do that kind of movie well. Best film I've seen in some time. Riveting from the first scene and only ramps up. Hilarious, sad, heartbreaking, and hopeful. Heard of it, haven't seen it. Maybe I will now. Thanks, Richard.
Ooh, neat. My Tatum needs sharpening.
Yeah. You know, you should really get the Tatum Mark IV. It's a really
cool
one. Mm-hmm. Dan Schaefer says, The Odyssey. I don't see many movies in the theater these days, but I knew this one would need the big screen. Brilliantly done, made all the better by the tears of the haters.
Tears of the Haters.
Mm-hmm.
That's a sequel.
That's the sequel. Odysseus 2, Tears of the Haters.
Yeah.
The Wrath of Telemachus.
Maybe it could be Bill Haters. I'd see an Odyssey with nothing but Bill Hader in it. as long as it's only 10 minutes long.
Tyler Stewart says, Nolan's The Odyssey, which I just saw today. Definitely a movie that should be watched on the big screen. It is truly epic with great acting, great visuals, and a fantastic soundtrack. Brian Mundo says, oh, it's got to be Fifth Element. Now,
no.
I don't do theaters normally, but I saw Wicked when it first came out. The adaptation of the play was spot on, and the music and visuals were amazing. Yeah. Okay.
It doesn't hurt that John Chu is his in-law.
Just Still a little disappointed that we didn't get another fifth element, but okay.
Yeah.
Matt McStravick says, Project Hail Mary. Okay, yeah. Aaron Perez says, saw the Odyssey today. Acting, action, effects, all phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And from that great fictional land of Canada, we have Vince, who says, since I haven't had any money to see many films in the theater the last few years, oh, way to bring the room down, Vince.
Wait, Werner Herzog?
It's only been at most one a year, so my choices are limited. Luckily, the movies I did see were pretty good. If I were able to see Flo in the theaters...
Oh, yeah.
Kiss my grits!
No, oh, wait, it's about
Flo
a cat.
With a W. I know. That would be my choice, but the last great movie I saw was Nosferatu, the Eggers version. Oh, okay, yeah. See our entire episode on Nosferatu. I loved the look and sound of it and how it managed to be its own thing despite there being two other versions before it. The attention of the folklore to the folklore of the time period really impressed me, as I am a nut for that sort of thing. Nice one, Vince.
Yeah.
And over here, speaking of great, we've got our great hotline and our absolutely fantastic caller, Doris Hempelmeyer. Talk to me, Doris. Talk slow.
Hello, Max Mike Movies. Hi, Max. I'm here to answer this week's poll question. The great movie that I saw the last one, I mean, I don't go to the movies very often, so there's not a whole lot of things on my list. But one I thought was really, really good, and I was surprised because I was not expecting it to be as good as it was, is This Thing On with Will Arnett and Laura Dern. It was really good. It's really about relationships, and it's not, you know, somebody doesn't get famous in the end. Oh, spoiler alert. It really worked for me. So that's my answer, is This Thing On. I hope you guys have a wonderful week, and I look forward to hearing next week's episode. Bye.
Now, she's referring to the movie Is This Thing On, not the voicemail, right?
I don't think she'd be referring to a voicemail that you would see in a theater, you moron!
Well, it could be. You don't know.
I think I do.
I'm sure you don't. That's an interesting one. I've heard of this one. I've never seen it.
Is it something about stand-up comedians or something?
Yeah, it's a guy trying to be a stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah. What could go wrong?
Possibly.
Well, if you want to find out what could go wrong, go to the Comedy Studio in Harvard Square any given night.
Ouch. And, ooh.
Hey, we've given it's them fun. So much money over the years.
Yes, we have.
Even when they moved, like stupid amnesia patients, we followed and went and fought. Yeah, whatever.
Yeah. But what about you, Mike? What's the last great movie you saw in the theater?
Well, I got two. One of them's a runner-up. And to be fair, it was not a new release. Mm-hmm. But a couple of years ago, they re-released a brand new, super polished and restored 4K ultra chocolate version of Jonathan Demme's Stop Making Sense.
Oh,
and
okay.
I got to see it in my favorite theater, which is the Brattle in Harvard Square. And even though there wasn't a lot of people, I hadn't seen it. I can't even tell you the last time I saw that film, sometime in the 80s or 90s.
That's the one with the monkeys, right?
Only if you were in the theater at the time. Now that is Talking Heads.
Yeah. Oh.
And it is just so fantastic. It is a band at its peak. It is incredibly well photographed. It changed the way that concert films were done. It was fantastic. And I loved seeing it again on a big screen. It was wonderful. But like Vince, I'm going to go with Nosferatu. Because Nosferatu, I didn't know what to expect. I honestly expected a horror movie in the I'm going to jump up and scare you or it's going to be super gory or whatever kind of way. And what I got was the most amazing adaptation of Bram Stoker's Dracula ever. It was just so moody, so atmospheric. I loved what they did with Dracula himself. The visuals, the acting, everything was just amazing. And it made me, we ended up doing The Witch for this show.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, didn't we do Nosferatu for this show? Yes, we did.
Yes, we did.
And so now at this point, the only of his films I haven't seen is The Norseman, which I've understood is the least of the three. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a new werewolf film coming out in this year at Christmas. It opens Christmas Day. Because why not?
Just like the birth of Jesus.
And I think that because I didn't know exactly what to expect and because I really like Robert Eggers now as a director, for me, the last great experience was Nosferatu. I did like The Odyssey very, very much, and I do think it needs to be seen in a theater, but honestly, Nosferatu is a much better film. But Max, what about you? This was my question. What was the last great film you saw in the theater?
I got to go with The Odyssey. That was the last. I've got two. One of them is The Odyssey. Okay. Largely because, like Lord of the Rings, this was something I thought they couldn't make a movie out of.
I mean, they made a movie out of it more than once. Like, I think there's
no, it's not going to work. I refuse. And none of it has. It's either a bad cartoon, a mini series that was so dull I barely remember who was in it. I think Isabella Rossellini was Athena.
Okay.
Which, you know, at least there was a plus.
I mean, sure, but it had no Larry Olivier, but, you know.
Yes.
Hey, how about Sir the prequel, Larry. That neat Troy movie with Brad Pitt? That was that was a movie.
Yeah, that was in focus. Yes,
and it wasn't Hollywood at all.
Thews.
Yeah, lots of thewing in that film.
A lot of thewing. Yeah,
but then there was.
I thought it was really impressive. I thought the performances were amazing. I like the fact that it was not like a shot-for-shot remake. They weren't trying to remake the scene. They changed a lot of the essential themes drastically.
Only a little.
Because no, a lot. Odysseus in the poem is not filled with post-traumatic stress. He is not upset at all the people he killed. He's reveling in it. His big thing there is his hubris. And that comes across some as his ego in this. But, you know, it's not like, oh, I feel so bad about destroying Troy. It's more like, I destroyed Troy! I rule!
Doesn't he also have a wicked good time busting up all the people in his house? Because I think he does.
Oh, yeah. He kills all the suitors. Yeah. All of them. Every single one.
But I think he also enjoys doing it, doesn't he?
Oh, he's so into it. And immediately he then takes Penelope in the next room and they start doing the old devil's tango.
Oh, Telemachus too, huh?
They're working on the next Telemachus. But again, that kind of a story doesn't work for modern audiences, and I thought they updated it very well. There were some things that bothered me about it, but ultimately I think it was terrific. The other one I saw is this one I saw at the Seattle Film Festival.
Okay.
And it is the last movie I would think I would call great. It's called Hen, and it's a Greek/Turkish movie. It deals with things like family legacy and human trafficking from the perspective of a chicken.
Huh?
I don't mean an animated chicken or a CG chicken or in any way anthropomorphized chicken. It follows the exploits of a chicken just trying to lay eggs and have a family.
And apparently it's involved in human trafficking.
That sort of happens around it, but yes.
It's a chicken. It's a giant chicken.
Chicken, I tell you. Yeah, really, if you see it, I don't know if it's going to go into wide release. I really recommend it. Hen.
Neat.
Yes, and what I also really recommend is more answers to our poll questions, because these were all great.
Yay.
We want more of them, and for our next one, I want to know this. And this is a bit of a longie, I'm sorry. In science fiction films, do you like the large-scale space battle-y ones, big invasion ones, or do you like the smaller stories involving just a few people, the human level, dealing with aliens, anomalies, whatever?
Oh, like Moon, when we watched Moon.
Exactly, okay. Which is two people.
Or, yeah.
No, or one, yeah.
Spoiler!
And we will tell you at the end how you may answer this question, as if most of you already didn't know. But we also want to ask you this question.
Seen anything good?
So, Mike, seen anything good lately?
Nope. I ain't seen nothing.
Way to leave me hanging there, Mike.
Sorry. I did great. Okay. I had three things I watched.
Yeah.
And this week, I've watched a couple of documentaries on YouTube about restoring paintings, but I watch at least one of those a week, so nothing new there.
Yeah.
So, week, nothing. Although, next week, I'll probably have an answer, because I think opening tonight is the new Spider-Man movie, and I really want to see that. Because early reports are that it's only really, really good. So, looking forward to that.
Well, it's got that jerk Tom Holland in it, and the guy can't act.
Poor Tom Holland. I hope he gets, like, a laugh line or something, because that poor kid's going to be playing high schoolers for the next 10 years. I think he's already 30.
How old is he actually? 60? 70?
I don't know.
I think he has a painting in his attic that is aging and looks monstrous or something. Well, he's going to look young forever.
And he married Zendaya, because
he did. He did marry Sanjaya. That was very impressive.
That wasn't the thing.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
No. What about you? Have you seen anything good lately?
I saw a couple of things. I saw The Odyssey, like I said, which I thought was terrific.
Yep.
Really enjoyed it. It is, however, I should tell you, very, very loud.
Yeah, I actually liked that.
It goes from very quiet to very loud very fast.
One of the things I liked the best was I loved the sound effect that they gave Polyphemus, that really loud bass, brass, rumbly trumpet sort of thing.
Yep.
I really liked that.
It
was very effective.
I just liked the character design of Polyphemus, the fact that he was a Cyclops, not because he had the standard, you know, Leela from Futurama head and eye in the middle of the forehead, but his face is twisted. His face is basically twisted 90 degrees. I thought that was really cool.
But he had an angina.
And Samantha Morton as Cersei was amazing.
Yeah.
She was so good. A total, total different take on Cersei than I'd ever seen.
Mm.
But the other thing I saw was the sequel to Wicked, Wicked for Good.
Oh, you finished the movie like we said we were going to, and then I didn't.
Yes.
And?
And what?
How is Wicked 2, the ending of Wicked?
I don't know. I haven't seen... Oh, wait, I did see that.
Oh, dear.
It was... Yeah, it's in focus.
Well, you can at least give me a little bit of one of those really memorable songs, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm a wicked witch and...
You're not doing the dance. Doing
magic.
Friendship.
Yeah, I'm sorry... Look, this is also a problem I have with the stage show. The second half of the stage show, all the good songs are in the first half.
Oops.
Except for one, which I really like, and that's the Wizard song, Wonderful. And in this, you know, we have Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum, and he does the song. And the problem is Jeff Goldblum can't really sing.
Oh.
He can hold a tune, but you have Cynthia Erivo, who's a Broadway class singer, and Ariana Grande, who has, okay, her voice is a tad thin because she's more of a pop star, but it's gorgeous. And then you have Jeff Goldblum, who is like, you know, your uncle singing karaoke.
Or
he's not bad, but...
Did he Rex Harrison his way through it?
He Rex Harrison through some of it, but the song lends itself to that. Most of the thing is, I thought the first movie got a lot more interesting stuff in it, and this I thought was just kind of dull.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Dull, huh?
It was still pretty to look at, but... Eh. And there were just a few too many, hey, this is the Wizard of Oz, look, we're going to cite more things.
Hmm.
Huh? Huh? Remember this from the real thing? Huh?
Oh. Well, that's a shame. So recommendation one, second one, not so much.
Not so much. You can see it if you want the completeness. And I do have to say, Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo are really cute together. I mean, honestly, if they had had any guts, they would have had them be the romantic couple because their chemistry is really good.
Mm.
So, you know, all that fan art you're doing about that, guys, keep doing it. I think it's better.
Wait, what? Fan art? What? What? Oh, God, nothing, I hope there's none of us. Luckily, they can't see us.
There's a lot of Max. There's a lot of Max Mike movies.
Max
fan
slash
art there.
Mike. I know Max would like to slash Mike sometimes. Yikes! Okay, but you know what isn't yikes is the next thing about what movie are we talking about again?
I forgot. Now we are talking. Now let's talk about stuff about the day Mars invaded Earth.
The facts.
Budget. $12,000.
That many, huh?
That many dollars.
Wow.
And it all went into the scenery, I think, which we'll get to. Box office, $965.
Wow. Okay. Pork chop sandwiches. Okay.
Yep. This was filmed at a place called Greystone Mansion in Beverly Hills. That's where I want to be, Beverly Hills.
Rolling like a celebrity?
Load up the truck and move there. Okay. Yeah. In 1965, 2 years after this film was released, the city of Beverly Hills bought the place, the mansion, not the movie, and it was made into a public park in 1971.
Hmm. Neat.
Tours are available from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Dates can be found online. It's also known as the Donaghy Estate.
Ah.
This mansion, Greystone... The Legend of Tarzan, was also used in The Loved One, in which one portion of the grounds appeared as the swimming pool where John Gielgud's character hangs himself, oops, spoiler, and one of the property's garden walkways portrayed Poet's Corner in the massive cemetery called Whispering Glades.
Ah.
More importantly, Greystone Manor was also used in the Season 2 Columbo episode, Dagger of the Mind, as the home of Sir Roger Havisham.
Yep.
at the butler's residence, played by Wilford Hyde White.
Wilford Hyde White! Property.
I'd have gotten away with it too if it hadn't been for you meddling kids and your dog.
What's Alfred Hitchcock doing here?
The car that teen boy Frank drives is an MGTF, which was only produced from 1953 to 1955 in Abingdon on Thames, England. This one is a left-hand drive built for the American market. This apparently was done as sort of an in-joke. You tell me if you find it funny. A teen boy Frank dies in an auto accident after trying to avoid hitting one of the Martians. His name, his full name, by the way, and this is true, is Frank Hazard.
I don't get it.
Get it?
No.
Traffic hazard.
Oh, traffic. I get it. I don't like it.
I don't like it. Yeah. The film's writer, Harry Spalding, also wrote for The Magical World of Disney, Grandpa Goes to Washington, and of course, Police Nurse.
Okay.
The day Mars Invaded Earth was released as the bottom half of a double feature with the Elvis Presley film, Kissin' Cousins, which nobody's heard of either. The actor who portrays Webb Spencer is a guy named William Mims, who's been in everything. He's been in hundreds of TV episodes. He was also, this one took some digging, the original actor in the Evil Grimace costume from the early McDonald's commercials. His voice was dubbed by Frank Welker, of course.
Of course.
In the opening sequence, we see Dr. David Fielding falling asleep while leaning against his file cabinet. That wasn't staged. Kent Taylor, the actor, found the script so dull he was in constant danger of dozing off.
Oh, we'll come back to that.
In addition to this movie and, of course, Catwoman on the Moon, Marie Windsor, who plays Claire Fielding, was a backup vocalist for Frank Zappa and the Mothers of Invention.
I did not know that.
Yeah. The scenes with the duplicates of the character involved no trick photography. The entire casting process made certain that only actors who actually had identical twins were selected for the roles of Webb and the Fielding family.
Well, isn't that handy? Huh.
Yeah. That Greg Shank, who plays Rocky Fielding, changed his name later in his acting career. Today you may know him as Nick Nolte.
What? That's Nick Nolte?
Yeah. The original working title for this movie was Everybody Into the Pool. But the studio didn't like it, so they changed it.
Wait a minute.
And, of course, the station wagon the family drives was comprised entirely of pressed duck.
Now, okay, now, wait a minute. These bits of trivia, do they in fact involve, what's that word, facts?
Well, define facts.
Did you look anything up at all?
I did. It's just anything after the Who Harry Spalding wrote from. And, the Kissin' Cousins part is true. And the rest are...
No Frank Zappa, no identical twins.
No, no Evil Grimace. Although Frank Welker did do the voice of the Grimace.
He wasn't Grimace?
No.
Oh.
No.
Max, fired.
I am filled with shame. There's nothing about this movie. I had to make up the budget. Nobody knows what the budget is.
Oh.
Nobody remembers this movie. Nobody does anything about this movie.
I actually might be able to answer that question.
Really? Do you know something less made up about this movie?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I do. You probably remember the name of the production company, a very famous production company called Associated Producers Incorporated. Do you know who ran Associated Producers Incorporated?
Surprisingly, I do not.
Our dear friend, Robert L. Lippert.
Oh my God, suddenly it all makes sense.
Doesn't it? So Robert L. Lippert, he was a giant of Hollywood. He owned a chain of 139 theaters, and he made a ton of movies just for his theaters.
Yes, and they were just as good as you'd think they'd be.
Yeah, like King Dinosaur and Jungle Goddess. He was also able to get a lot of name actors as they were being released from those big studio contracts. And since they were looking for work, Cesar Romero was one of them. And so he could get them for a lot less because, hey, work is work, right? When this film was named...
I noticed he didn't bother with this movie.
When this film was made, it was made under that new company, Associated Producers, which was contracted by Fox so that he had to make a movie a month for $100,000 or less.
Oh, my God!
Later, he'd renegotiate that contract to a movie in 15 days for $300,000. Hey, if you triple my budget, I'll give you it in half the time. Okay. In 5 years with Fox, he made 100 movies for them. 100 films. In the end, when this deal was over, he'd make over 250 just for Fox.
God, this is like Roger Corman territory.
Yeah, oh, we're going to come back to Roger Corman.
Well, everything does.
Interestingly, way back in 1960, he was complaining about suits getting involved in the creative decisions and how that was helping to ruin Hollywood. 1960, this was a problem.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And while most of his films are forgettable at best, we're still watching them in great part thanks to MST3K and Riff Tracks.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Robert L. Lippert.
Robert L. The L stands for Lunkhead.
I actually found a documentary on him and the whole thing was like, I need movies for my theaters, and gee, wouldn't it be a lot cheaper if I just made them and I didn't have to pay licensing fees? What if no one else wants to show them? Who cares? I have 139 theaters, so I'll make tons of money. He did. He made lots of money.
Wow. Well, good on you, Bob.
Although, maybe not from this one. Although, it was a double feature with Elvis, so if you wanted to see this, you had to see Elvis. Or you had to see Elvis, you had to see this. So
it was just another excuse to make out in the balconies. Yeah.
But I would really like you to tell this story, Max. Please tell the story.
Okay, fine. Dr. David Fielding, Doctor of Science! And his colleague, Webb Stewart, doctor of smoking cigarettes, are working to science the planet Mars. They've sent up a robot probe, anally. Clearly, it's from a box of props rejected by Lost in Space, when suddenly its signal strength intensifies, and then it blows up. Whoopsie doodle! So Dr. Dave decides to spend more time with his family. We know what that means. But things aren't well with his marriage. What? What is this, the 1960s or something? His wife Claire feels he spends too much time working and not enough time listening to records made of pressed duck or something. His kids still like him, though. His boy Elroy and daughter Judy. Sorry. I mean his boy Rocky and daughter
Judy.
Huh. Judy. Well, anyway, they're happy he's home and think Mom is being a bit of a poop. Judy just wants him to like her boyfriend, teen boy Frank. But something is wrong at the palatial estate of Claire's family. See the trivia. Various members of the Fielding family keep having their faces go out of focus. And then duplicates of them appear, wearing more formal clothing. The horror! Turns out that these are Martians. And they've come to Earth because they need a Santa Claus on Mars. Oh, sorry, they view the incursion of the humans as an invasion and are going to use their intelligence, which works like our electricity, apparently, to replace people who could make travel to Mars possible, I think. Honestly, their plan doesn't seem terribly well thought out. You'd think they just reanimate the dead or something. But maybe that was a couple of plans ago. Anyway, Webb and Dave decide to stop them. It doesn't go well. The end.
The film.
All I have to say to you, Max, is pull my chochum.
I'm not getting anywhere near your chochum. Well, I gotta say, in the first shot, the Mars rover looks a lot cruder than it does in the NASA pictures.
My note on that was, wow, it seems we've sent a Roomba to Mars. Because it's so dirty up there.
Yep.
Yeah.
You know what?
We have this cast, though, of
Of
favorites. And,
oh, yeah,
and
hey, first, of course,
some of them actually have photos on IMDb.
Oh, but first, have you seen this movie? Did you see this movie before?
I hate to say this, but yes, I have. And the thing is, I thought I had seen it with you.
That was a spit take.
But apparently not, because I'd gone to visit Max and I brought a whole bunch of old science fiction films I had never heard of or seen before. And I thought that one night we had, let's see how to put this delicately, sucked up some smoke and watched a few. And I thought this was one of them, but no, I did it to myself. I watched it on my own. So yes, I had totally forgotten about it though, until reminded of some of the details. It's like, oh yeah, the house one. Okay. You had not.
Yes, we do have a. Yes, I had not. I have never. I'd never seen this. I'd never heard of it.
I can't imagine why.
But we do have a cast.
Lippert Mania.
Kent, Kent Taylor, Dr. David Fielding.
When you said that bit about him not be actually being in the script when he's falling asleep, I believe that seems totally likely.
I would believe that too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Because at first, my third note is, uh-oh, this movie starts with our lead character falling asleep.
Yep. Nap time for Doctor.
I gotta say, I don't know Kent Taylor from anything else that I can remember, although...
Neither does anyone
else. He looks like he's gonna grow up into Mildred and Drysdale in a few years. I mean, there's the cement pond and everything. I keep waiting to say, oh, Jethro wants to be a rock star. But
he does have the David Waters mustache,
Niven, too. You mean?
The pencil thin... No, David, like the director, John Waters.
John Waters, okay.
The John Waters pencil tip mustache. Yeah.
So he honestly felt uneven to me. I mean, okay, I know we're talking about a Robert Lippard film, but he felt like times that he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be doing.
Yeah, there are long periods where people just sort of stare blankly ahead of them.
Yeah.
And we're not, are you terrified, confused, pondering?
Annoyed.
Nauseous? Yeah. Pooping.
It's like the Midwest. Is it funny or are you mad at me? He's not the best leading man.
He's not a bad... No, but he's not terrible.
No.
I mean, he's competent.
And I will say this about the film. I am really, really tired of the, our marriage is on the rocks and it's always the guy's fault. I am really tired of that. And this time, quite honestly, it sounds like his wife, Claire... said she was going to do something like move closer to him, and she just didn't.
Yeah, and then didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he's, I guess, he's adequate.
A little more even-handed, I think.
He's adequate. But Marie Windsor, oh my God, she has been in Catwoman on the Moon. She was on... She had 175 credits. She was working steadily from the 40s through the 90s. I would like to pour one out for Marie Windsor. Fantasy Island.
Mostly on TV.
Project UFO, Murder, She Wrote.
Simon and Simon, Charlie's Angels.
Everything. And she's if anything, she seems a little tired, which when you look at her credits kind of makes sense. It's like, well, I only made four movies this year. Okay. Of course, you know, when you're doing with Lippert, it only takes you 15 days.
Exactly. It's similar with like William Mims, who may not have played the Grimace, but he has been. He also has a huge list. He's like 129 movies, also episodes of TV shows, a lot of which were the same ones that Ms. Windsor was in.
Yeah. So he looks like somebody who was probably in a lot of westerns. I don't know why I think that, but he probably was.
He also looks like a slightly scaled down Benny Hill, but that's not his fault.
He's fine. Both he and Marie Windsor are fine. I mean, there's nothing. It's a B movie, but they're still working actors and they're doing their jobs. They're fine. Heck, even the kids are fine. We have Betty Beal as Jim.
Betty Beal, who, by the way, I would like to point out, that was a joke about them all having identical
twins.
She
did, didn't
she? She had a sister, Barbara. She wasn't an identical twin, but she was.
You have a sister.
Nine lives.
Oh,
yes. She,
that cat was gay.
And she's, you know, she has nothing to do. She has about eight lines.
And she's real, real sad for 10 seconds when her boyfriend dies.
Yes, and then gets over it. But And then there's Nick Nolte. Greg Shank.
As Rocky.
Which is an unfortunate name.
He did one other movie, which I think was uncredited, and then he left. I mean.
Yeah, that was it 4 years later, and then he stopped.
It's really the family plus Dr. Webb. So, and that's it.
Yeah.
And some of them have to play two parts, like when they're being creepy and Martian, and some of them don't. So,
well, I mean, there's Lowell Brown as Frank Hazard, but he's in like two scenes, and the police officer and a couple of other one shots.
I just, they're fine. It's a B film. Although, quite honestly, I've seen worse acting in current films. So,
yes, that is true. I mean, I've seen, and certainly. Films of this type and this era, you know, the cheap-ass science fiction movies, we've seen much worse acting.
Much, much worse. You know what this film could have used? Beverly Garland. She would have actually... She has a kind of manic anger. Yeah. She seems like somebody that you don't mess with, right?
I
like Beverly Garland. She's cool.
She'll cut you.
Well, speaking of the time, I actually did have kind of a question for you. Do you think that this film's plot, such as it is, is trying to play on the Red Scare or the Cold War?
Well, the Cold War, the real heavy Red Scare was winding down a little bit, although it was still very present in the 60s. I think that's part of it, especially with the idea of invaders looking like us.
Right.
You know, because communists could look like anyone. It could be you or you or even you.
Me? No.
Yes, you.
Yeah.
I think that's some of it. I think it's also the interest in the space program. I mean, we hadn't even gotten to the moon yet.
Right.
We had just, you know, Kennedy had just said, hey, who's the guy with the rifle on the grassy knoll?
I drank what? that's wow. That's okay.
Yeah.
And now, to be fair, I mean,
that whole challenge of getting to the moon, it just happened.
You got
to
give this film credit. It pretty much predicts what's going to happen with Mars. We're going to send a little probe. It's going to walk around and take soil samples and potentially pictures. It's just going to last a little bit more than, you know, 6 minutes. Well, I'm sorry. I shouldn't say that. Some of them will last more than 6 minutes. The last transmission we'll get will sound something like this. Row, 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 ground. I hope it'll be friends with me.
Yeah, but some of them were going years after they were supposed to break down.
Yeah. So that's pretty much what happens. And this is 1963. So, you know, good for them. But
yeah, nice.
On the other hand, apparently making it to Mars means your marriage is over. And I would like to...
That's just science right there.
I would like to refute your idea of this had an original title. I have the alternate title as being Martians Saved My Marriage, because it's kind of true.
But, sure. Yeah. Sure. Space children.
Should I ask this now? Sure, why not? Max, what did you think of the pacing of this film? Because there's a lot of pacing in this film.
Wow, is there? They're pacing around the rooms. They're pacing back and forth on the porches. There's a lot of pacing. First of all, most of this movie stars the house.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, and the whole estate. It's like, we rented this. I am, by God, going to use every frame of this I can.
Yeah. And I remember that as soon as I walk into the little guest house thing, I'm like, wait, I remember that from Columbo. And it totally is the same house.
Yes, it's a set. I mean, that's the thing. When they go into the little guest house, at first it's not clear to me that it was a guest house. I'm going, wow, this place is a lot nicer on the outside.
Yeah.
And then they go to the actual house. It's like, all right, that looks more like what I was expecting. At least the entrance hall does.
Yeah. And they use the whole house in the episode with Columbo. The funniest part, of course, is it's supposed to be in England. Jolly old chap. So, whatever. So the house...
There is no... The pacing is so slow. There are brief moments of activity when you think something's going to happen and you're wrong.
Oh, something happens, all right. One of two things. Mm-hmm. It's either walking or driving.
Yes. It's a lot of walking. I mean, obviously, the director really caged a lot from Roger Corman, because boy, is there a lot of walking.
I think my favorite scene is when the family is trying to make it out and go to Aunt Edna's or whatever her name was.
Aunt B,
Aunt B's. And so they drive all the way down the highway. Well, honestly, they drive down the driveway, which I don't know how many miles it is, but it's more than a mile. And they get to the gate and they push the button and it doesn't work. So they call up to the house to talk to Dr. Webb and they go, hey, the button's not working. Could you push the button? And he pushes the button. Is it working? No, it's not working. Okay, we're going to turn around and drive back. At that point, I just went screaming, no!
They don't turn around. She backs up the whole way because there's no space to turn around. Webb, at least, when he opens the gates, drives out, turns around, and goes back up.
Yeah, but we get to see that, too. So, yeah, I don't think I've ever seen a film where walking was a bigger plot point than this film.
Yeah, this is up there with rock climbing.
Oh, my God. The only thing I'll say is the pool is empty, so that's kind of dull, but at least the rest of it's boring. Because the house is, I can't conceive of the amount of money it took just to build that house, not to be able to, like, maintain it and, deserve is the wrong word. But, you know, like, it's not just how much did the house cost, how much money do you have that you can comfortably live there? And let's face it, probably wasn't their own only house.
Yeah, you would probably have to have an army of staff and servants taking care of everything that you'd do. The gardeners would have to be probably outnumber the people who live there 20-1.
Well, we see them at one point when they're driving up that ridiculously long driveway. It's like, oh, they're going to the guest house. Oh, there it is. Oh, nope, they kept going. That's not the guest house.
Yeah.
What house?
Yeah, the
staff lives.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's not measured in acres. It's measured in square miles. It's
I think so.
Absolutely insane. And next time I'm in L.A., I want to go there.
definitely.
Well, I'm wondering how many other bad movies were shot. Oh, oops. How many other movies were shot there?
Yeah, movies that we haven't decided on yet. Yeah. I also have to say, when we see him flying home at the beginning, my notes, I say, suddenly I'm thirsty for United Airlines.
Oh, United Airlines.
Yeah, goodbye. Farewell.
Hey, there are no Transam. Yeah, no, not Transam. Pan Am.
Pan Am. Yeah, no, that's true. Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, I think the character with the most lines in this film is the house.
Yeah, the house has the best dialogue. I also like how at one point Webb says something like, the press wants to know if there's life on Mars. And then I have... Yeah, and they also want to know if there's a Starman waiting in the sky or if there's a genie out there.
Oh, no. David Bowie stole all his material from this film? We've Robert uncovered Lippert it. Has such
a... Aha! Conspiracy!
Take that, David Bowie. Black Star. Star suggesting space? Okay.
See for Catwoman.
You beat me to it. That will never not be great.
So, never not be funny.
What did you think of the music in this film?
I think it was for another movie. When we this, I have that especially at the beginning when we're seeing the Mars probe. We got this like happy, wholesome, bouncy sitcom, 50s sitcom movie. Like this is not exactly striking a fear of a sense of fear and awe or anything.
I said that the music sounds like a cross between an industrial short and a saccharine soap opera.
Yeah.
And in fact,
music doesn't make any sense.
The whole opening of the film, we see something, because we don't know what the hell it is. We see a coffee pot wandering around, and suddenly it catches fire and blows up. And then we cut to Mr. Yeah. Dr. Sleep, and we find out, oh, this was on Mars. Okay. But right after that, it goes into this whole marriage thing, and it feels more like an episode of Lassie than it feels like a science fiction film.
Or General Hospital. Yeah, I got to say, for a science fiction movie, there is remarkably little science fiction in this.
You know what the science fiction is? Oh, you have a little Vaseline on your lens. That's literally all they do.
That's the big special effect. Yeah. It's like, oh, something's happening. Smear.
Hey, Jaime, and get ready over. The special effect. You ready? Okay.
Ready.
That's it. That is, and then
yeah.
As they wipe it off. It is.
Yeah, that's all of it.
The idea, I guess, and it wasn't, I mean, it's sort of stated, sort of not. The idea, I guess, is that people get scanned, and then right after they get scanned, somebody sees their duplicate. And the idea is that we are trying to infiltrate Earth by making duplicates and replacing people, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I think that's the idea. And specifically, the Martians, and this is part of the twist of the end, they don't want to attack, but they feel that our incursions onto Mars are the basically preliminary for our invasion, and so they're trying to, beat us to the punch. Of course, we'll get to that, but they want to come in and replace all of the people who could make travel to Mars possible.
Like Rocky.
This one guy and his family apparently are the heart of the space program.
Well, apparently, but here's the other thing. Why did they kill Frank? To be fair, Frank panics, and instead of, applying the brake, he decides, I must drive into a tree instead.
They do that classic of, oh, look, there's someone appearing in the middle of the road. I must swerve to avoid them. She appears like 500 feet ahead of him. He sees her in plenty of time to... slow down and proceed with caution or get out of the car and say, hi, Judy, why are you standing there?
Besides, he...
But no!
No, he wrecks a perfectly nice, innocent MGTF or whatever it was. So,
whatever it was.
Yeah, and I guess it's meant to add a sense of danger, like, oh, what can these Martians do? Apparently, most of what the Martians do is they make duplicates to annoy us.
I think so.
And there's this one scene...
And to be smug at us.
Well, in one time, they don't even really make a duplicate. They just make Wutschdops. And so poor Claire thinks that her fake son, Rocky, told her to get down to the big house because there's the doors open. And then she's coming back and she hears Wutschdops. And my feeling was, she's not really scared. She's just tired from all the walking.
Yeah. I mean, my God, it must be exhausted. These kids are like marathon riders.
Yeah. And then Judy, in the middle of the night, she's going through her thing because her boyfriend, on his way home, the few miles to get out of the grounds of the house, has died. And, of course, she's upset. And her mom gave her something the way you do in the 50s and 60s. Yes. Here, have a Valium.
Have a mother's little helper, yeah.
She wakes up and there's a super hot woman-on-woman wrestling scene where for some reason her duplicate shows up and they fight, I guess.
And yeah, it's not much of a fight. It's like she pushes her out of the way. It's like, ah, that superior Martian power?
Martian arch?
Shove.
I don't know.
Martian.
But Judy screams and suddenly nothing happens because she goes away again.
Of course, you know, she runs out in the hall and says, in my room. And to everyone's surprise, when they look, there's nothing there. What a twist.
But then finally, David gets the hint. And David Fielding, goes to the big house alone. And there he finds the bowling alley. Yes, there's a bowling alley in the house. Am I surprised?
The bowling alley. Two lanes. Yeah. Very nice.
Yeah, but it has automatic pin setters. You'd think they just have a pin boy. Oh, pin boy.
Yep.
But then the Martian finally reveals himself to him. And my note
was, he looks just like him, only better dressed.
And duller.
Much duller.
Yeah, the reveal is, okay, we don't want you on Mars. And the only way we can think of to stop you, you know, we don't want to talk to you or anything, is just to just kill anyone who gets in the way of me killing everyone by becoming you and infiltrating and stuff. I just thought the way they handled that scene was just boring.
It was, and it was confusing. And I'm sorry, that whole, yes, what we do have is intelligence in the abstract, much like your electricity here. And my note is, what? What the hell does that mean?
Yeah.
Intelligence in the abstract, like electricity? I think the idea that they're trying to get across is like they can... their intelligence is such a high level, it can manifest like actual kinetic energy.
That just floats around and makes footstops and people and stuff.
Well, it also, we find out they can do other things. But
well, and that's...
I also still... Did you notice he says, and we see this at the very beginning, we watch Dr. Smoker walk out, and then the camera pans back and he's still at his desk. So he's as he says, you've already been replaced.
Yeah, well...
And what does he do? What's the first thing he does? He looks down at his junk. He looks down at his groin. I've been replaced? Wow.
You know what? That's where he taped his script. Look, I can make it move. Okay. I thought that with the budget of this film, that the only way that they might be able to stop the Martians is through the power of editing. Because maybe it could happen off screen. We could just have David look over and say, well, we beat them, and then we're done. Because, speaking of being done, I hate to say it, but we're at that 55-minute point. We should get to the end where you know, we decide and stuff.
The finish.
So Max.
Ha! Wait.
Not only were you second, but you said your own name. That's because you don't have... like intelligence.
I don't have intelligence, much like your electricity.
like seals.
Yeah.
So you'd never heard of this film.
Never heard of it.
Can't imagine why. And you'd never seen it, so you watched it for the show. Max, what do you think of the day Mars invaded Earth?
Hamburgers. Yeah. What?
Oh, I'd like a hamburger.
So dull.
Yeah.
The sad thing is, like, the acting is, as like you said, it's better than we see in a lot of this sort of movie.
It's no Peter Graves.
The story doesn't make... It's no Peter Graves. But I'm betting none of it in this movie went to the University of Minnesota. The thing that kind of surprises me is how dark the ending
is. Yeah, let's talk about that. Poor Webb has to pull an Aunt Beru, and for no reason that we can see, he just starts literally smoking as opposed to figuratively smoking, and then... he's a stain on the ground.
he's wearing a smoking jacket.
Yeah.
And then he falls into the empty pool and we see a charred outline of where he was.
Yeah.
So we figure, oh no, then we see him loading the family and the doctor into the car. And you think, oh no, Webb is going to do something. He's got the family. He's been replaced. And then we see them drive off and they pan back to the swimming pool. And in the bottom of the swimming pool are four more burnt silhouettes.
Yeah.
Meaning the whole family is dead and they've been replaced by Martians.
Yeah.
So they've won.
Yeah.
Dang.
Did you see that coming?
I did not.
Me either. You don't get unhappy endings in the 60s. It's a law.
Well, you didn't in the 50s, but I think the 60s science fiction, they were starting to lose a little of that optimism. of the 1950s.
I honestly don't need, I think you're giving them way too much credit. I think they literally just did it for a shock, because it's like, how do we wake people up so they know to leave the theater? We got to get another crowd in here. I know. Let's make sure that they see that we've killed everybody, even the kids.
Even the children.
And Beppo, the super monkey. He's dead too.
He is. He's not going back.
Honestly, that was the only part of the film not only did I not see coming, well, except for the volume of walking, but I actually thought was interesting.
I also wonder, because the Martian says, don't worry, you know, when we get rid of people, we'll be very humane. This is humane?
Yeah.
Burning them alive?
Yeah.
Yikes. And
Webb doesn't look real comfortable while it's happening.
No, he do not.
And he doesn't quite go, but he kind of does. So.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. So you don't recommend it?
No. Honestly, I don't. Not even if you're a completist. I mean, I suppose if you get... Well, no, if you get really high and watch this, you'll fall asleep. If you get really drunk and watch this, you'll probably throw something at the TV.
What if you're a real estate fetishist?
If you really like shots of big, expensive real estate in California, then this is the movie for you.
Oh, except groundkeeper. It's not in color. Oh, yes. Rolling grasslands. Oh, cement pond.
Lawn care. Yeah. No. What about you?
Oh, dear. Well, this is the second time, except the first time left such an impression. And I could only have been like within the last like 6 weeks or so that I watched this. It left such an impression that I forgot about it until it's like, oh, yeah, the one with the house. Okay. That should have been the title of this film, The One with the House.
The One with the House.
Oh, the walking. There is so much walking. Although I will say that by the end of the film, you have a pretty good idea of where things are in relation to each other. Like, that's the selling point. You will know where the pool is. Okay.
I watched that movie, and it got my steps in for me. It's amazing.
And then there's the driving. Oh, my God, that driveway.
So much. The movie Drive had less driving in it.
Yeah. It's boring. It is so boring. Yeah. And it is, there's no story. There's no, like, when you find out that Lippert made this in probably 15 days, $300,000, that's way too much money. He used that money on
way
other films.
Way too much.
Yeah, because it's like, oh, I didn't build any sets. We just filmed at the house at a lot. And then there's not really much of a story. And there's no special effect. Literally, the special effect is a smear of Vaseline and a coffee pot. Yeah. That's it. On a string. Somebody is pulling a coffee pot across some sand with a string, and then they set fire to it. That's it.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, that's it.
And we've watched films with far less budget, like Primer. And it had a good story, and it was interesting. This is not either of those things.
It can be done.
Yeah. So, No, I got to say, I want that station wagon. I really want that station.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That station wagon was cool. Oh. I want to electrify it and drive it around and everything. It looks awesome.
Electrify?
Yeah. Make it a battery-operated electric car out of it.
Oh, I see. Convert it to like a hybrid. Yeah. Okay.
No. Just no hybrid. No gas.
Full electric.
Just electric.
Full electric. Okay.
Man, that station wagon was awesome. And you know what? You could hit it with a tank and it would be fine.
And you could fit an entire Marine division in it.
Yeah. You know what else you can fit an entire Marine division in? Our poll question.
Oh, my. I thought you were improving. Okay.
Yes.
Consistency. Okay. Whatever. Yes. We want to know now is, in terms of science fiction films, do you like the large scale, big invasion, space battle kind? Or the smaller human interest kind, where it's a small group of people dealing with a particular alien anomaly, whatever? And you can call us and tell us, because I'm going to start off with that, our anomalous hotline.
Ooh.
See if maybe more people will call if I lead with that.
Sure.
You can call our hotline like Doris does at 617-398-7266. That's 617-398-7266. Just a little suspense there. And leave a voicemail.
Suspense.
You can also, of course, go to our website, maxmikemovies.com, and leave a comment. You can email us at us@maxmikemovies.com, not just about this poll question, but maybe you have a suggestion for a series, something we got wrong, a suggestion for our 400th show, please.
Yeah, well, we need another one to add to our giant list of them.
it's a huge, huge list that still could use a couple more.
I got no argument.
Or you can find us on socially mediocrities over
Facebook
at
Facebook and Blue Sky. Just move on.
What he said, and of course, the podcast app of my choice. But We are coming to the end of our Tops and Bottoms series. Why are you giggling? And next time we're going to talk about the biggest earner of 1963.
Oh, well.
And what was the biggest earner of that?
Yeah, I should have looked that up. Let me just take a quick look here.
Right,
1963
sure.
Top earner was...
Uh-huh.
Oh. There wasn't one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Was it like a three-way tie or something?
Yeah, five. So we couldn't possibly do five films in one show. So I'm afraid next week we're just going to cover a bunch of Warner Brothers cartoons.
Oh, okay. No, not Mike.
What?
You promise. Come on. We're going to do it. This is the last one.
Do I have to?
Don't lie. Don't lie.
Now, to be fair,
yeah.
I've never seen this. There may be a reason for that. Mm-hmm. But apparently the top earner in 1963, it involved a famous cinematic couple. And we have done one of their films before. Married couple.
Oh,
wait, were they married at this point? Or were they married again?
I can't remember.
All right, it's Cleopatra. It's Cleopatra. All 17 hours of it.
Great, and we're going to follow it up with Berlin Alexander Plots, the full 9-hour version.
Well, and if I remember correctly, this film was lauded for having many people of color in it that actually are portraying Egyptians and Italians and stuff. Yeah.
I
think there are.
Really, like those famous people of color, Richard Burton, Elizabeth Taylor.
Those two, yes.
The whitest people who ever existed.
Yes, those. I think Rex Manning's in it, too. Oh, wait. No.
Yes.
Say no more, Monomore. Next week,
Monomore.
Cleopatra.
Cleopatra.
Yeah.
This has been a co-production of The Voice of Max and The Movie Wrench.
Kabam!
Kabam?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not selling crap here. Is that our new sponsor? We haven't had a sponsor in a while. Kabam!
Yeah. Kabam cereal!
Goes in and out the same way at the same speed. Okay. Turns your poop blue! Hey, that was
No, this is bad. That's kaboom. Kabam turns it ultraviolet.
Mmm. Shine that flashlight. Oh, don't go to your parents' room, kids.
No. Oh.
Where do you think you came from? There's a surprise
in
every box.
Stopping right there. Okay, we're going to stop right there.
Looks like a condom. Okay. Why does your condom smell like Fruity Pebbles?
Well, we're off to a banger start here, aren't we?
Yep.
Okay.
Three. Banger. I hardly even know her.
Two and a half.
Start again. Yes. I'll behave, probably.
Three.
Two.
One.